Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. This is the first hour of two where we're going to talk about cars and car problems and car repairs. And you're allowed to join us, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Tom at Action Auto Repair at I-17 in Deer Valley, the northwest corner. Full-service, family-owned auto repair shop that served the Deer Valley and North Phoenix area since 1983, and I've known Tom since 1979. So whatever your repair needs are, Tom and his staff are well-known for quality workmanship, excellent customer service. Oh, I'm going to have a tough time today. And a fast turnaround, and that's kind of important. Tom has ASE Master Certified Technicians. That kind of means that the diagnostic process, the repair process, and then the check to make sure we fix this car is done, because that's all we know how to do. So that's Action Auto Repair, I-17 in Deer Valley. Got a guest this 2 hours, and his name is Lane Bridwell. He's from Bridwell Auto Center, and that's at Scottsdale and Lincoln, southwest corner. How did I do?
Telling us where we are? That's pretty darn good. That was pretty cool, Mark.
I'm doing it from the people. Now, your family goes back to Scottsdale since wooden wheels on wagons.
Well, at least 1969 anyway.
Okay. So I remember your dad talking about wooden wheels on wagons.
Well, we have, over the history, had more than one carriage get pulled by horses back in the old days. Okay. It was a lot of fun. We used them in the Scottsdale Parade. Mm-hmm. So a lot of fun going down the parade route in a Bridwell Automotive horse carriage.
Okay. Your dad was involved in the Parada for lots and lots of years.
Yes, and all four of us kids have been involved in the Parada, even more than my dad.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So you, probably your brother...
Terry.
Terry. What about your Bill Jr.?
Bill Jr. and Lloyd Bridwell.
All of them. Mm-hmm. You guys have all been like, what's the big chief of the Parada?
Parada boss.
Okay, Parada boss. So we call that the PB, Parada boss?
Yeah. Billy and Terry were Parada boss and... Or excuse me, Billy and Lloyd were Parada boss and president. I was only Parada boss, and Terry was only president.
But okay.
Lots of stuff growing up. That was a lot of fun all the way into our early 40s.
Now, your dad started auto repair in the Scottsdale area?
Granite Reef in Chaparral was our first gas station. And then from there, we branched out to where we're at now, and then we had lots of locations all over town.
I remember when I was a policeman in the 70s, you had a parts store at Granite Reef in Chaparral, wasn't it?
No, at Shea and Scottsdale Road.
Okay, but didn't you have one over at Hayden in Chaparral, Granite Reef in Chaparral?
We had a parts store for the rest of our shops where we kept stuff.
Okay, kind of a
warehouse. Granite Reef and Chaparral, sort of a warehouse. But the actual parts store was a Napa Auto Parts right next to a mobile gas station. We ran them both. We had the corner, the southwest corner of Shea and Scottsdale Road all sewed up.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I had my mobile station in 1979, I knew the guy that actually opened up that mobile station. He wasn't there very long, a year or so. And you guys must have taken it after that.
Yeah. He didn't like Mobil's contract, so he got out of there.
Well, back at that time, Mobil owned the gas, and we were allowed to use the bays.
Correct.
So we didn't get any money off the gas. And we had to participate with the payroll. So, you know, my payroll could be, you know, 24/7, and we had a staff of 50. And we had a full service and self service island. So by the time you get done, and then Mobil says, well, 10% of that is yours.
Yeah, they didn't have the best contracts in the world, and it took you a little while to figure that out. Mm-hmm. If you ever had a drive off, you had to pay for
it. As an employee.
Yeah.
As an employee.
It was not the best contract in the world.
And you paid for bad checks. So if somebody wrote you a bad check, the employee, the manager, you had to pay for that.
Yeah, the old days when we used to take checks.
Yeah. Yeah. You got that right. You got that right. Well, obviously, I've been around you guys. What's the horsey thing up north that your dad and took me a couple of times?
Up in Munns Park?
Nope. We did go for a ride there. We got in a lot of trouble with your mother up there. But... it's up, you go to that canyon that's got a real winding road on the west side of Prescott. and it's a big camp that they own.
Oh, the Verde Vaqueros.
The Verde Vaqueros, yeah.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
I didn't know. I just forgot. Yeah. So I went to the Verde Vaqueros at least twice, and your dad and your mother, Delora, Bill and Delora, and Renee and I, and
that was the couple's ride.
Yes, the couple's ride. And your dad and I might have been the only two that didn't get hammered one or two nights.
Wow.
And neither did our
wives.
That's
my dad you're talking about?
Your dad. I'll tell you what happens in Munns Park. We're riding, right? Your mother's leading the couple's ride. So your dad and I are kind of behind her. We might have been two or three, you know, horses behind. And we get to talking. And the next thing we know, we're in the front. And Bill looks, your dad looks behind you, and your mother's right behind us. Now, we have passed the trail boss, and I guess that's akin to cheating on your wife three times with her sister, okay? It's not a good thing. So your dad looks at me, and he goes, "We are in some kind of trouble." Now, I don't know why. And he goes, "Well, just rein up and kind of cut to the left." And he says, "And just turn the back of your horse towards whoever's behind you." And I said, "Are we trying to get him to kick somebody?" And he goes, "No, just follow my lead." So we both turn left, and we kind of stop. Your mother rides behind us, and she's staring us down like we've never been down like me. And so I said, "Okay, what?" And we wait for like 10 people to go past us, and then we get back in line. And I said, "What just happened?" He goes, "Oh, you never pass the trail boss. Never."
Especially if it's my mom?
Yes, especially if
it's
your mom.
There you go.
Now, you know I have Lena.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so Lena and your mother, I don't know how many ribbons they had, but she was in Western Pleasure a lot, right?
Yeah, she was a great horse.
Right, right. Well, I just took her up to Payson with four paints that I have. And no matter how old Lena is, she's still the queen, the king, and the president of the pasture.
And how old is Lena now?
What, 15, 18?
Yeah, somewhere up there.
Yeah, good. I don't ride her. And she's loving the pasture, and she's loving the 59-degree evenings and stuff like that. But, no, she's still tough. She's still tough. So, and she's Lena because I guess she's a Dockalina horse somewhere along the line.
Correct.
Okay. And I bred something to I got a paint horse that's three-color paint, and we call him Three Dock because in his lineage is Dockalina, Dock Bar, and Dock Oaks. And I just had a guy come out in Payson to get him to break this horse. The horse is 6 years old. And I just had him gelded not too long ago. So he said to me after working with him twice in the round pen, he says, "I'll be on his back in 5 days." He says he's doing everything I'm asking for him to do plus more.
So this guy's a horse whisperer?
Yeah. Yep.
And my dad's sort of like that, too.
Yeah, oh, your dad.
Back in the old days, he doesn't quite break them in that short amount of time anymore.
Time will tell. You know, he wanted a month's worth of work, and I told him, that's fine. I'm happy to pay for a month, and if we need a second month, that's fine. I want to get on him, and I don't want him to blow up on me.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
You know the old joke about horses, what scares a horse?
Yeah.
Things that move and things that don't move.
Yeah, no, you're right. So anyway, Lane's got a repair shop and sells gasoline. If I'm not mistaken, you're the only gas station in the state that has a full-service island?
As far as we know, I've had a few people challenge that, but every time I check it out, no.
Not happening.
They already have closed or they've already closed. As far as we know, we're the only full-service gas station in the state of Arizona.
Okay, so you actually have boys and girls that go out and pump the gas, clean the windshield, check underneath the hood, just like we did in the old days.
Just like the old days. We're okay. Checking everything.
All right. Well, that's kind of nice because a lot of people would like that. Have you ever thought of putting the boys and the girls on roller skates and and maybe short dresses for the girls?
Yeah, we thought of that.
Wouldn't that double your business?
My dad thinks of all sorts of different things to do over the years, and that was one of them. Somewhere back in the 70s, we came up with that, but then we decided not to.
Yeah. Well, you mean your mother decided not to?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. It was a bad deal in the 70s as well. Nevertheless, 602-508-0960. I know that you were on the phone just a minute ago. And you were talking about having a key made, right?
Yes.
Give me the quick 60-second version. Customer comes in.
Customer comes in, and they need a key made. And the way they've done a lot of these keys these days, you got to get the key, and then you got to stick it in the car, and the old key has to be there, and then you have to tap the horn 4 times, step on the brakes 8 times,
yell Yahoo twice,
open the door 3 or 4 times, and then yell Yahoo 4 times, and then it's the key has just been activated. It's the craziest thing in the world.
Okay, fair enough. Listen to this. I got this in the email the other day. Hey, Mark, I'm a longtime customer. We had my wife lost the key to our Avalon in California. So we had the car code to a dealership, and they said that they had a key and we could reprogram it for $600.
2 minutes.
And what kind of car?
A 2006 Avalon.
Okay.
11 years old. That's one that you wave the duck, the wed duck over your head and honk the horn 3 times. And then they came out and said that the computer rejected it and they had to get a new computer for $3,000. I'm home in Chandler when this happens. I don't really know what to do, so I call your shop and I get Jeff, the parts manager. He starts calling around to see what he could find out, and he called me back and he told me, bottom line is he knows where he's found a locksmith in Santa Clara, California, and the locksmith's going to come over and is capable of doing this job. So wife says to them, thank you, but no thank you. And the car's put out on the lot. The guy shows up and fixes it.
And the total cost was what?
Hold on a minute here. I don't know what the total cost was. I'm betting that it was a locksmith charge, which is usually $100, $125.
To come out and get you.
Right. And then it's probably, what, another $75, $100 to get the key and have it reprogrammed. So
correct.
A couple hundred dollars.
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, then he found out he fixed it in 20 minutes. So he called me back and told me what he had found out. Bottom line, we found a locksmith, and he came out in 20 minutes. That's why we use your shop. Now, my question is how do I go about filing a complaint about this dealership for a $600 key and then turn it into a $3,000 ask or bid or estimate? So I don't know what to tell him. I'll deal with it later. And he says, and the crazy part about it is that there was another guy in the dealership, and they were telling him the same thing. It needed a computer for $3,000. So then here's the kicker. After this is the one. It's all of that's bad. But here's the worst part. When we got to the Toyota dealership in Santa Clarita, California, they also told us that we were not loyal Toyota customers because we did not get our car serviced at Toyota dealerships. So maybe that's the reason they went from $600 to $3,000.
Sounds fair to me. I mean, got to make it up somehow.
So when you're talking on the phone about a locksmith and a key, I was holding back on this because this is a good example. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the dealer, although that seems to be there's a commonality there because independent shops would probably do the same thing, the bad guys. So we got bad guys in the chain stores. We got bad guys in the chain stores, I guess is what it is, franchisee kind of guys. We got bad guys in the independent market. We had bad guys in gas stations. So we've got bad guys in all over the place, but that seems to be a common denominator, and I'll tell you what I think. I think that those million-dollar mortgages they have on those buildings is putting pressure on them, and cars are made better than they've ever been before.
You got to meet the payment.
That's right, and that's what I think. 602-508-0960. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Lane Bridwell is here from Bridwell Automotive, Scottsdale and Lincoln. Been in business for a very, very long time in Scottsdale. Him, his father, his brothers, his mother. So I think, are you 3 generations deep? Any of your sons or Terry's sons working at the shop?
Yep, my oldest son works there.
Okay, so now we're 3 generations
deep.
3 generations. Yep, good, good, good. All right, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you Thompson's Auto Repair. He's got 3 generations as well. 1970, he's been providing really great auto repair, light truck repair, maintenance services to his Mesa customers. And Thompson's is the only place in Mesa that we recommend. We've had others apply, but they just don't meet the standards we have. Thompson's has ASE-certified technicians. They know how to follow up with friendly reminders. They know how to make sure that your symptoms are fixed. So they're at Main Street just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, Main Street just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. Keith, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Hi, Mark. I've noticed in the past you've talked a lot about these aftermarket warranty programs, and I've been seeing this advertisement on TV for this really big outfit now that's really promoting that. And it seems to me from what they say, it looks like they try to dump the responsibility of the aftermarket warranty from the client onto the shop. I was wondering if you have people come into your shop and demand to use that warranty, and what do you do about these sort of things?
Well, actually, it does. It looks like that we make all the decisions, but let me tell you what classically happens. The car comes in, and it's got, in my case, the car comes in, and it needs a rack and pinion assembly. And so we write up an estimate for a rack and pinion assembly, and we tell them it's leaking oil profusely, and we take a picture, and we send it to the aftermarket warranty claims department. It's at that point that they cut our estimate in half. They tell us we're not going to pay your labor. We're going to pay it based on our book, not your book. And we're going to send you the rack, and we're going to have you install ours. And we want you to warranty the rack.
And we want you to wait for 2 days until we get an inspector out there,
yeah,
and make sure that you're actually didn't fake the picture that you emailed us.
So the car's going to be there for a couple of days, and then we're going to have an inspector show up, and he may very well be a former farmer, and he has no mechanical experience, and he walks in, and usually they're pretty nice guys, and show me what you're talking about. I had an aftermarket warranty company void a radiator the other day because the transmission services hadn't been done on the proper time. And I said, wait a minute, it's not a transmission issue. It's a tank that's cracked. It's broken. It's just a radiator with a broken tank. No. They didn't have a transmission service at this stopping point. Transmission has nothing to do with this. I have an ear infection, and you're telling me it's because of an ingrown toenail. It doesn't make sense.
Aftermarket insurance companies just do their best to not have to pay the claim at least a good chunk of the time. There are some good ones out there, but I'm not sure how you ever find them.
Do you like any of them? Do they treat you fairly, any of them?
You know, over the years, we've worked with a few that I thought treated me fairly,
okay,
but I can't remember their name to tell you which one you should go by.
Fair enough. I've never found one. And then at the end of the day, they won't pay shop supplies and environmental charges.
Oh, yeah.
They won't pay
Freon.
There's
always something about them that...
Well, Freon. If we put a compressor in to put the customer back whole, we got to put Freon. They say, well, we're not going to pay the Freon.
Wow.
And what happened to the old Freon? What do you mean, what happened to the old Freon? We put it in our recycle machine. Well, then recycle it and put it back in the car. Well, that's $125. It doesn't make no difference to me. So the answer to your question is from our point of view, it's a huge hassle. They negotiate everything. They want us to subsidize the repair. Otherwise, they collected the premium, and they had fun with the lady, but they want us to help pay for the baby. Does that make sense? All right. So yeah, I'm glad you laughed. I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but that's exactly the situation. And Lane brings up a great point. The car's going to be there for a long time. And if there's a discussion or a dispute, then we get the guy's supervisor, and he takes pictures and sends them to his supervisor. So I really hate that. We'll work with our customers on that, but it's also a rodeo.
There's been times that we've had to charge customers to make up for what the insurance company didn't pay because we just couldn't take that big of a hit. It's like just not fair. So where they got part of it paid for, but they had to pay for part of it.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I think that number's anywhere from 10 to 30% historically.
That sounds about right.
The customer's responsible for. And if you let him send you a rack. Now, I say, you can't send me a rack and want me to warranty your rack. I didn't make any money on your rack. And it's going to take you 2 days to ship me a rack, and then you want me to install the rack. And what happens if it leaks? What happens if I can't align it? What happens if the tie rod ends on both are bad or used?
The insurance company has to pay for it, but will they?
Yeah, and that's it. That's the real issue. So here's the answer. Most, if you're looking at an aftermarket company, Keith, how much do they want a month or a year?
Well, I would never even consider using one of those places anyway.
Okay. we tell people that put your $200 a month in the bank, that's $2,400 a year, and you'll just cover all your repairs. And you'll save up money for that $4,800 transmission 6 years later. So you're going to have plenty of money because we have a lot of service intervals are no longer 35, but they're 80, 90, or 100.
2 minutes.
We have all kinds of things that last longer. So as a result of that, the car's better made, they're safer, and it's just easier. Thank you very much, Keith. Thank you. You want to do another dealer one?
Sure.
Okay. Person takes it into the dealer. I'm going to read you right from their paperwork. Right front tire fails because the tire age exceeds 10 years. Left rear tire, same comment. Right rear tire, same comment. Tire age exceeds 10 years. Okay? So it came to us. These are the tire ages on all four tires. This tire was manufactured in February of 16. They said that the three of the tires are more than 10 years old.
So 1 year tire multiplied by 10 does equal 10 years if you do it that way.
Okay, well, that's the math. I don't know that's the kind of math I'm used to. But, again, and every single one of the tires is 2 of 16. And let me tell you, from the time it's manufactured till the time we sell it can be 3 to 6 months.
Right.
So if that's the case, this tire was actually put on the car in 9 of 16, which is less than a year ago.
And he's told that it's more than 10 years old.
There's written right there.
Yeah,
it says
I see it.
Tires age exceeds 10 years.
Yep.
And then they did a lot of other things. They said this, coolant's bad. Coolant exchange, it needs a coolant flush. The power steering leaking or power steering fluid needs change. The brake fluid needs change. The throttle body needs change. The fuel injection service needs this. Decarbonization needs this. And how many miles do you think this car's got on it? I'm not going to show you.
35,000.
Well, it is 35,000. It's 32,000. You cheated, though. You looked. So 602-508-0960. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this and what customers should ask to protect themselves no matter where you're at. You ask, for instance, cleaning the throttle body. What symptom are you going to fix with your suggested repair? We'll talk about that in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Lane Bridwell. He is the big kahuna for Bridwell Automotive Center, southwest corner of Scottsdale Road in Lincoln. Been around a very long time. His father and his mother kind of started the automotive stuff, and then Lane and his brother Terry, plus Lane's son, is now involved. So it's kind of like a three-generation thing. And I think your dad got started in the 50s or 60s?
Yeah, he opened his first station back in the 50s.
Okay.
Chevron.
Yeah. And wasn't that the Jim Winters and Whitey Almgill area as well?
You lost me on that question.
Okay. I'm pretty sure they kind of got started together.
Oh, when they got started, yes.
Yeah.
But no, my dad got started in Carlsbad, New Mexico.
Okay. All right. I understand. I thought he got started here. I'm sorry. All right. I want to finish this. The dealer said that three of the four tire age exceeds 10 years. And we know that those were put on no more than a year ago, and they have a 16 born-on date, 2016.
And there's a stamp right on the tire that you can always tell how old your tire is.
And we wrote down on our repair order that all the tires were 0-2-16. That means February of 16, this tire was born. And like I said, it takes 4 to 6 months to get to us. Because from the time they make it to a distribution place, then from there it goes to a tire warehouse, and then from there it comes to me.
Right.
So we have a delay. Then they said, we found the coolant discolored at 32,000 miles.
And this is GM long-lasting coolant?
No, this is an Infiniti.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is it's a 2016
Infiniti. It's long-lasting coolant, whether it's Infiniti or GM.
Coolant pressure cap is bad. Oh, and it's because the coolant was discovered, they want to put a radiator cap on it. They want to flush the cooling system. Then they want to perform power steering fluid exchange service, found the power steering fluid discovered. The brake fluid, we want to change that. We want to clean your throttle body. We want to do a fuel injection service, and we want to decarbonize the engine at 32,000 miles.
A lot of work.
Okay, so throttle body cleaning. If the throttle body's dirty, uneven idle, maybe a little hesitation on throttle up, stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Symptoms? Okay. Fuel injection service? Maybe we have an injector that needs to be cleaned, which is kind of like a spark plug that's bad or a spark plug wire that's bad. It's going to have an intermittent miss.
That's usually not going to happen quite that quick in a car's life cycle.
I agree with you. I agree with you at 32,000. So then they want a decarbonization. And I think that's clear that there are specific symptoms for a decarbonization. And you better make sure that when you do it for $200 that you fix those problems. And there's a good chance that you won't. So here's what the thing says. We discovered the power steering fluid is okay. We checked the coolant and it's okay. We do not recommend a flush or the radiator cap because we tested the radiator cap. We checked the brake fluid and found that it failed the moisture content test. So they used a hydrometer to check the moisture content. So they have a line in that hydrometer. So we got red and we got green. And this was in the red. So they said, okay, this is the shop that ended up with the car. So we recommend flushing the brake fluid, and we did. We spoke with the customer, and he has no symptoms that match a throttle body service, a fuel injection service, or a decarb service. Then he was told they need brakes. They need front and rear brakes at 32,000 miles. So they checked the brakes, and they said they're getting close. We inspected the brakes and found the front brakes at 10/32. 10/32.
In the old days, brakes might have ended at 32,000, but not anymore. They're making them a lot better.
Well, not only that, we have discs all the way around, so we have performance all the way around.
2 minutes.
So what you've got here is you've got we inspected the brakes and found the brakes at 10/32 and the rears at 5/32. Remember 10 and 5. Well, the line is 2/32. So you start changing at 2 or 3/32. So we're jumping the gun on the front brakes because we have 10/32 on the front. We're jumping the gun on the back brakes because 2/32 is still there. So I don't understand. These are blatant lies that he needs tires, that his tires are 10 years old. That's a blatant lie. The tires were born in February of 16. It's a blatant lie that he needs brakes. I don't know.
It's just hard to comment to that. I'm sitting there looking at you saying all this, and it's like, I don't know what to say to something like that.
I'm with you.
When you're in business with your dad, it's hard to look at your dad and go, hey, let's go try to lie to somebody that they don't need, that they need brakes way sooner than they need it.
Unbelievable. You guys are like us. We have so much business, we don't have time to do that. We don't have
absolutely.
Time. And we've got Mr. and Mrs. Jones that have been customers of your father's from the 70s. And we go back to 79. So we've still got customers. We have Mrs. Wagner. We have 44,000 customers. Mrs. Wagner's number is 5.
You know, not only that, we're a small shop. We're a 3-bay shop. And we just couldn't afford to treat a customer like that. I just wouldn't even want to take that chance. That's insane.
It is. But admittedly, this happens on both sides of the issue. It happens in the dealership. It happens in the independent, and it happens in the chain store. And I'll tell you what wads up my panties really bad on the chain stores. We got guys out there that are doing transmissions, and now all of a sudden they're doing full repair work. And that's because our transmissions are lasting 120,000, 150,000 miles. So we've got all these different people. We got tire guys, transmission guys, front end guys that are now going into air conditioning. Transmission, I know this one transmission shop's going into full-blown auto repair, but he doesn't have the technical ability. He doesn't have the scanners. He doesn't have the training, but yet he's going there because he's not making it on the transmission side.
They're lasting much longer than they used to.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So are engines. So is everything.
Right. Absolutely. That's why when we look, a lot of the stopping points are between 80 and 100,000. So we got coolant that goes 100. We got spark plugs that goes 100. We got tranny fluid that goes 100 if it's a synthetic tranny fluid. We got a transfer case and a differential that'll go 80, 75 to 100. So this is newer model cars, I would say probably newer than 212. So just a real tough thing. All right, when we come back, we're going to have open line 602-508-0960. If you have something good to say, we'll listen to it. If you're going to say something bad, don't say the name of the shop. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem with Lane Bridwell from Bridwell Automotive, Scottsdale and Lincoln. Been around since Scottsdale Road was a dusty path.
Well, not quite that long ago,
okay.
But close to it.
Scottsdale.
It ended at Bell Road when we opened it up.
Okay. But Scottsdale and Shea had Mag's Ham Bun and a gas station in your auto parts store. Pretty close.
Yep.
There was not all of that stuff that was up there.
No, not even close.
Okay. So I remember the 70s as well, and there was nothing up there. Mag's Ham Bun is the only reason why we went up there is to eat. Because is Mag's Ham Bun still there?
No. Okay. No, it closed down probably about 10 years ago.
All righty. IMM Auto Services in Tempe. He's south of the 202, just west of the 101. He's been around, David, his name, he's been around since 1972. He's going to prioritize your work. He's going to offer you to the penny estimate. He's going to include tax, and he's going to perform only the work that you said, he said you needed. And he gets a 12-month, 1,000-mile warranty. He has ASC Master Techs. He does import and most domestics. But let me ask you a question. Do you like Volvo, Saab, Fiat, or Alfa Romeo?
Well, I don't mind working on them.
Okay. Well, I do.
Except Alfa Romeo. I'll leave that one alone.
Okay. All right. Saab, the motor's in backwards, and it pays 8 hours to replace the starter. So you've got a lot of problems. But IMM specializes in these cars. So when those cars come in and you open the door and the windshield wipers flap, I send them to IMM. He's seen that before. And I don't need to spend 8 hours and bill 1 hour figuring out why the windshield wipers flap when you open the door.
I've worked with IMM. They are a great shop. I've even asked them for help before, and they helped me.
Absolutely. They helped us fix a Saab the other day. We looked like heroes, but he didn't make a dime, although we asked him if he wanted to do it. So when we talk about cars and all the different chain stores and stuff, I tell people there is no more corner gas station. I think it was always a good idea to have a relationship with
the corner
gas. Except us. Okay. All right. Except you. All right. So the gas station fixed your tires. The gas station fixed a quick hose, and they were usually open on Saturday or Sunday. So a gas station relationship was important. Obviously, you're the only one I know. So that with you is important to the people around you because you're open 7 days a week?
7 days a week.
Okay.
Techs are only there on Saturdays, not Sundays.
Okay. From what hours to what hours?
Well, the gas is from 6 a.m. till 9 a.m.
Okay.
And Sunday till 7 p.m. Or okay. I said 9 a.m.
Yeah.
6 a.m. till 9 p.m.
Okay, good.
Sunday, 7 p.m. And the techs are there from 8 a.m. till 5:30.
Okay.
And Saturday, 8 to 2.
Okay, all right. It's Saturday is a good day because people have that off a lot.
And oh, it's a great day because some people can't get in Monday through Friday. They got to get to work. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so when you talk about car repair, the gas station's gone. The chain store's coupons sometimes are good, but by the time you use the coupon, now there's one particular tire store that has a 3-for-1 every year. And every year I call them and ask them what the 3-for-1 out the door price is. And it's always the same. It's no matter whether it's 3-for-1 or whether it's 4-for-4. So if you pay 4-for-4, it might be $320. But his 3-for-1, buy three and get one free, is still $320. So I don't understand the math. Maybe he has a defective calculator. I don't really know. It's just that kind of stuff kind of bothers me. The hook to bring you in, that bothers me. It bothers me that they're going to give you something that's free, and then you leave with a shopping list that's 3 pages long. That kind of bothers me. You see those three-page shopping lists?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you know exactly what they are. And many times the mileage doesn't match what they have. Many times there's symptomatic problems. We had somebody the other day that was told that they needed both front wheel sensors for the ABS system. So we physically looked at them. No wires were crushed. No wires had rubbed the tires. They looked fine. So we plugged a scanner in, and we went out and did circles in the parking lot.
So was there a check engine light on it?
No.
Okay.
No. So we do circles. That's the easiest way to check all the wheel sensors because the left tire, if you're doing left signals, the left tire rotates slower than the right tire, the right front. So if
Correct.
You do real fast circles and then you turn right and you do real fast circles, you're going to find a bad wheel sensor, speed sensor. So we couldn't, and we said, no check engine light, nothing else. You don't have any problem. You're not locking up any brakes. So here's what's going to happen. Nothing. You're going to get a check engine light, and you're going to lose the ability for ABS. You're going to have brakes that you had in the 70s. You're going to have the same brakes as you had in the 70s. So you'll just lose your ABS. So I don't want to frighten you, but I'm sending you out the door. I can't say for 100% sure you don't have a bad speed sensor, but If you do have a bad speed sensor and the ABS light comes on, all you've done is lost ABS. That's why it's a yellow light. So that's the way we do it. I don't know how everybody else does it, but that seems to be the best way. And I know your dad and you, I think the customer's needs comes before our own needs. Do you charge a lot more money just before the rents do?
No, absolutely not. Okay. I don't think so. I haven't ran across that before. I haven't thought like that ever before.
See, I don't tell anybody when my rent's due because that way they don't know. See what I'm saying? And I'm kidding you, of course.
You know, when Mark's looking at you saying things like that, it's just hard to tell whether he's serious or not there.
Well, I'm blessed in this respect. My daughter paid off the building in year 18, so we really don't have any rent. So we don't have any overhead that we have to take advantage of our customers. That doesn't mean Mrs. Salem isn't taking some of that rent. Or Mark doesn't buy a horse every once in a while.
Well, we had a chance to pay off our building, but a billionaire outbid us for it. So
yeah,
that's the way it goes.
Yeah, but you're still there.
We're still there with another 20 years on our lease.
Okay, all righty. Well, let me tell you about Larry Harker's Auto. You probably have never dealt with them. They're over at 38th Avenue and Indian School. They've been around since 1967, and actually Bob and Ellen run the place. And Bob used to work for Larry Harker. Bob is one of those guys that you have a Chrysler product, and it's got a bus issue. It's got a bus code. So he goes, and I send these people to him. And I said, he's a great diagnostician. So they go to him, and he fixes the car. Every single time he fixes the car. So those Westsiders, I kind of send to him, especially if it's a really weird situation. So they're really good. They're at 38th Avenue and Indian School. They have ASE Master Techs. And Bob and Ellen run the place. So they do auto electrical work, brake service, auto emissions, vehicle maintenance. And they can also diagnose a check engine light or a problem, and a foreign or domestic, and they can get your car back to you. So IMM is an important one for you to think about. How about parts? You having a problem getting parts?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. What about the wide discrepancy of the cost of parts that we're experiencing? Are you experiencing that too?
What, between the just a shop and the dealer?
No, between even two parts stores with different flags on them. So it might be CarQuest and Napa. It might be O'Reilly's and AutoZone. I don't deal with the O'Reilly's and AutoZone, but there's just a wide variation.
And it usually has to do with quality more often than not. The less you pay for it, it's not always true, but the less you pay for a part, on the average, the less time it's going to last in your car.
And I think another analogy that works pretty good is everybody knows what a Fram oil filter is. Mm-hmm. Everybody's seen an orange Fram oil filter. But if you see one that's called Oil Deluxe and they sell it for a dollar less than the Fram, you kind of say to yourself, I've never heard of this company. And so I'm going to spend the extra dollar for the Fram because I just kind of feel better.
Absolutely.
When was the last motor you bought? Do you remember?
That I bought to put in somebody's car?
No, you bought because you messed it up.
Wow. I can't even remember.
We just bought a motor 6 months ago. We bought a motor. And it made me cry. It made me cry. There's two Toyotas side by side. And on the rack. And they both order oil filters from our parts department. And the young man that delivers the part switches the oil filters. So this Toyota got the wrong one, and this Toyota got the wrong one. And the lady's an older lady, and she makes it about a mile. And you can see the trail of oil where it blew the filter off. And then you can see about a mile down the road it quits. There's nothing you can do about that.
Wow. No fun. Absolutely no fun.
What's the odds of that happening where you have two Toyotas on the same rack and we're doing oil changes on both of them?
You know, I had close to that same thing happen, but we got lucky. The gentleman that it happened on his Toyota pulled over and didn't drive anymore.
Yeah, this lady may have been hard of hearing. This lady may have been paying attention to driving. I don't know, and I didn't care. First thing I did is offer to buy the car back, and they said no. So we just put an engine in it. I mean, that's all we could do, is put an engine in it. And so while we had an engine, we put the, you know, we put the thing on we put her in a rental car is what I want to say. Do you know what kissing the filter means?
That's a new phrase on me.
Okay. You take the old filter and the new filter,
oh, okay,
and you kiss the gaskets, and they better kiss perfectly. Then you take your finger and you stick it in the threaded portion, and if your finger's really tight in the threaded portion and it slides in this one over here, you got the wrong oil filter. So we had a lunchroom discussion about kissing the oil filters for the gasket and sticking your fingers in the threaded holes to determine you have the right one. So, but it's important to ask me, when was the last time this happened? And through the grace of God, it's never happened. I've never bought a motor under these circumstances.
And this was your first?
As far as I can remember, this is my first. But you know what? You got to stand up when it's time to stand up and wave your hand.
Well, back in the old days, you used to have gaskets that would get stuck up in there, and you would double gasket them.
Yep.
But most of the time, people would leave. It would come out at a slow enough rate that you wouldn't ruin an engine over it.
I get a call about that once a month, that someone screwed up an oil change, and I want a new motor. And this is what I tell them. I say to them, this is what they're telling you, the motor's fine. Okay, fine. This is what we're going to do. Have them change the oil. And at 1,000 miles, you pull a sample, go on the internet, and you have an oil lab check the sample for metal. Now, let's say the aluminum number's 40. So then you do it again in 1,000 miles, and let's say the aluminum number is still 40. And the brass is still 40. And the steel is still 40. They're all these numbers are the same. And then you do it again at 3,000 miles, and the numbers are still the same. There's not metal that's increasing in that motor. There's nothing wrong with that motor. There's nothing wrong with that motor.
Makes sense to me.
On the other hand, if the aluminum starts at 40 and then it goes to 80 and then 200,
been damage.
We got something to worry about.
2 minutes.
So that takes care of the issue. That just takes care of the issue. It's evidence that you can't argue with. And so I get that call from insurance companies a lot. Hey, we got this situation.
And who's doing this testing?
You can get on the internet. There's all kinds of accredited labs, and you send them $10, and they'll send you a bottle. You put your oil in there. You write your name on the bottle with your phone number. You send it back.
You know, see, this is news to me because I've never had to do that.
Okay.
I've never been in that situation.
There's a big oil laboratory for the big heavy equipment, CAT, I think it is, at Country Club in the 60. On the southeast corner, they got the biggest dozers you've ever seen. A dozer that could tear down a 10-story hotel. Just driving, making it a drive-through, he could tear it. But they have one of the best oil labs there is, and we use them. Now, they're a lot more money than the other guys, but they're convenient for us.
Well, I'll keep that in mind if I ever need that. Hopefully,
yeah.
I won't ever need that.
Oh, I understand. I understand. It's just, I'm grateful that we all learned about this, so hopefully the staff we have now doesn't do it again. But I also haven't lost sight of it that this hasn't happened in our new facility, and we opened it in 1994. So we've not bought this motor, so it was just a matter of sooner or later we were going to get the short end of the stick.
Well, sometimes one of the things about being in business is everything can't happen perfectly forever, 100% of the time.
And let me tell you a story. A guy says to me, you damaged my hood. We looked it over. I don't think we damaged the hood, but he's a really good customer. It's $580 to fix it. I give him $580. 6 months later, he comes to me and he says, hey, here's your $560 back. I said, what's the deal? He says, my daughter hit the trailer hitch with the front of her car. The hood, the trailer hitch on the horse trailer. And he says, so she admitted it the other day, so here's your money back. 602-508-0960. We'll be back just in a few minutes.
508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. If you'd like to join us, if you have a car question, here's the phone number, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And the 960 comes, we are the Patriot, KKNT, and we're on 960 AM, the channel. So 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. He's proud to be an independent, family-owned, and operated auto facility. He's got Jeff and Eric. They're both master techs. Jeff runs the shop, and he's kind of like the service writer, and Eric is the lead technician. And these young guys are really, really good. Kurt's Auto Repair was recognized of one of this year's Better Business Bureau Ethics Award, and that says all you really need to know. They opened in 1987. They've been working on domestic and imports, both gas and diesel. They have ASE certified technician. I just covered that. And they're at I-17 and Bell in the northeast corner. I-17 and Bell in the northeast corner. Here's what I promise you. When you do business with them, within a couple of weeks after they, when you do business with them first time, within a couple of weeks after that, Kurt's wife will show up at your door with home-baked goods. And when was the last time we did that?
Is this a... You telling me the truth here?
I swear to God, I'm telling you.
Wow.
I'm telling you the truth. She knocks on the door and she says...
Unbelievable.
I am Kurt's wife, and you did business with Kurt's Automotive just recently. And we want to say thank you for trusting us. And here's some baked goods. And it's, she makes it. She actually does it.
Now, my wife will make banana bread and a million other different things. Yeah. I bring it in and I give it out, but we don't take it to anybody's home.
Well, if you have 10 new customers a day, your wife would spend the rest of her life making banana bread, because you're not going to cut a piece of banana bread by in a quarter and take it over to somebody's house. They get the whole loaf, I'm thinking. I mean, I'm thinking.
Or...
That's a hard one.
Don't know where to go with that one. Absolutely.
Right. I understand. So car repair is hard enough, but I read something the other day that I kind of like. It talked about symptoms. So it talked about, don't let the customer tell you, I need you to line my car. I think the question that they were trying to drive home was why? What's it doing?
What problem are you having?
Right. It's got a bad vibration.
Then it doesn't need an alignment, more than likely.
Okay.
And that's one of the biggest things people mistake.
Okay.
Tire balance and alignment.
Okay. So I want you to replace my brakes.
Why?
I've got this bad vibration in the seat of my pants.
Well, may not be need to be replaced. May just need to resurface your rear rotors.
Okay. And then you can say, does it only happen when you apply the brakes? Yes. Okay, then we're there. I had a guy come in and say, I want you to put a starter in a V8 Monza, a Chevrolet Monza. And it's like, it's an $800 labor job. And so I said, can't we check it out here first? And he goes, no. He said, intermittently it doesn't start. So we did it. We put the starter in, and I don't know, $800 worth of labor. And so it wouldn't start when we tried to get it out of the bay. So we checked it real quick, and the clutch switch is bad. So you have to push the clutch in to get the starter to engage. So we just bypassed the clutch switch, and it started every single time. Then we took the little paper clip out of the connector, and then one out of every 10 times it would start. And you have to push the clutch in just right, hold your mouth just right. So what do you do then?
Well, you do your best not to do that in the first place, but every once in a while customers will come in there and say, no, I just want you to do what I'm asking you to do. Mm-hmm. And all you can do is just tell them ahead of time, okay.
Yeah, we actually have a form for that now.
Yes, we usually make them sign off that, hey, we're not fixing this because we say it's going to fix it. We're fixing it because you asked us to.
You instructed us to
Correct.
Do this, perform this. So realistically, I had two choices. Say nothing and just replace this $12 switch. But I'm a little ornery, so I didn't do that. I said to the guy, you made a bad mistake. I wish you would have let us diagnose this, but you refused. Put your hand out, and I put that $12 switch in his hand. I said, that's what's the matter with it.
I thought you were going to slap his hand.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. I don't want to go to jail.
Well, I didn't mean slap hard.
Oh, yeah, no. I just put the thing in his hand and said, this was it. I said, I hate to give you the bad news, but you asked us to replace the starter. We did, and it wouldn't start for us, and we tracked it down to this clutch switch. And so that's all it was. And the key to us was this. You said when it didn't start, there was no noise. So the solenoid didn't click. The starter didn't go, So if there's no noise, then there's no power getting to the starter. But you were adamant that you wanted us to replace the starter. Now, that only happens once a year. We have to pull the form out once a year. And the real heartbreak is the wife comes in and tells us what the husband said.
After it's already done?
No, before.
Oh, before. Okay.
Yeah, the wife comes in and says, my husband said, put spark plugs in it. And so you put spark plugs in it, and he comes back and he says, it's still doing it. And you look at the repair order and you go, doing what? Who diagnosed it as spark plugs? So I guess my best story is a guy said, I want you to align it, and that's all he would tell us. And I said, okay. And he says, and then it's got a bad miss to it, and I want you to put spark plugs in it. And I said, okay. So we did an alignment, and there was nothing wrong with the alignment. So we did what we call hang foreheads. So you charge him about 5/8 of what an alignment costs because you didn't really align it, but you have to do a lot of work to take the readings. And we put 8 spark plugs in it. So he's gone for maybe 2 hours, and he comes back, and he goes, it's still there. And I said, you didn't tell us what it's still there. So we get in the car, and he goes, feel that vibration? And I said, I do. And he goes, why didn't you fix that? And I said, well, you had me working on the wrong end of the car. If the vibration's in the seat of your pants, it's in the back of the car. And obviously you have a bad tire with the tread separation. So you've got a bad tire, and you're having us work on the front of the car when the problem's in the back of the car. And he says, okay. He says, well, why didn't you fix the miss on the engine? I says, well, can you make it happen? So we're driving down the road, and he turns on his air conditioning, and this is what we hear. So the motor's doing that. So I said, do you want me to fix that? And he goes, yeah. Can you guess?
Fan motor?
Air conditioning low pressure switch. It's low on Freon. So it's cycling the compressor on and off.
Oh, okay. I'm with you.
So I just turned the air off, and I said, there, I fixed it.
Sometimes it's hard to figure out noises over a radio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I tell people, and I'm sure you do too, if you've got a problem that's intermittent, figure out how to make it happen, then come over, and I'll give you a tech for 15 minutes.
Oh, that's one of the worst things in the world is the same thing's going to the doctor, the problem that won't show up.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you only have two choices. Wait till it gets worse and easier to find, or make a guess with your money. Not yours, the shop, but the customer's money.
I knew what you meant there. No, we try not to do that because customers don't tend to like when you make a guess with their money.
And you're absolutely right. But Mrs. Chamberlain, who's been a customer of ours for 100 years, has a 20-year-old car, and it's a little Dodge Aries. And she says intermittently it dies. So we pull the cap off of it, and there's 7 different colors of pickup assemblies in her electronic ignition. And the very first color is a white one. And we've gone white, yellow, blue, pink, black, whatever it is. So we find one. Hers is white, and the newest one is orange. So we say to her, it's a $100 guess. We can't get it to happen. But we know there's 7 upgrades to this electrical component in your distributor.
And what year car is this?
I don't know. A 20-year-old.
Okay.
What's that? A 2006 Dodge Aries? Or it's probably older than that. I don't think they made an Aries in 2006. So that's what we said. And we hit a home run, but I was gambling. I told her it's going to cost you $100. And I'm not going to warranty this. This is a guess. You need to watch my lips. G-U-E-S-S.
Yes, there's definitely times that you have to do that.
You have to offer it.
Yes. And you give them the choice, the customer has a choice. Do you want us to take an educated guess on your car? Because everything isn't always black and white. Sometimes you just have to take an educated guess as to probably what's wrong. And there you go.
We had a Ford truck the other day that had an injector coat. And it had gone to another shop and they bit all the injectors. So we could see that that injector had a coat. But we gunned the exhaust manifold, and we didn't have a cool exhaust manifold, which indicate there's no fuel and there's no combustion. So we asked the customer's permission to spend $125 to switch 5 with 4. Because 5's on one side, 4's on the other. And he says, what's that going to do? And that's going to tell us if it's the injector or the spark plug or the boot, but we have an injector code, which means a misfire. So if we switch the injector, will the problem follow the injector? So will the new coat come up that it's 4? So this is something that will help us hone in on it. But it's $125. He says, okay. And so we did just exactly that. We switched 5 with 4, charged him $125. He comes back in. The check engine light comes on in 10 days. He comes back in. The problem's now 4.
2 minutes.
So what does that tell you? the injector. You move the problem from 5 to 4. So the injector's bad. That's all there is to it. I didn't move the spark plug or the wire. I didn't move any of that. It doesn't have a valve problem. It doesn't have a compression problem. It doesn't have any of that. All I did is move this injector. So we gave him a deal on the labor because we'd already done it for $125. So we charged him for one injector, and I think we probably charged him $85 to replace it again. And then he told us that he had it to another shop, and they had told him that he needed all the injectors, and he said no, because that's like $3,000. And then they said, well, let us do the plugs and the plug wires, and you know that's coilover ignition, so it's got that short plug wire that might be 2 inches long. So they replaced all the boots and the wires and the spark plugs, and that didn't fix it. So at that point, he came from the 303 in Glendale, and he says, I don't know if you can fix this
one
or not.
Minute.
And that's when we did 30 minutes worth of work, and we said we want to switch the two injectors. So he had to guess with his money. But
and then when 2 months later another one goes out, then what do you do?
Same thing. I only have one to warranty. I only have one to warranty. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have the ability to look into the future. If I did, I wouldn't be an auto mechanic.
Well, I only said that because that can happen.
Oh,
and
I
you know you've had it happen lots of times, and then 2 months later another one goes
right
out.
If I were really capable of knowing what the future is, I would have won that, what it was, a $500,000, $500 million
lottery. Yeah.
One person won all that money. That's what they said. But it was one in 12 zeros, a one in 12 quadrillion, they said. One in 12 quadrillion, and I guess quadrillion is 12 zeros after the one. I read that, or I didn't read it, but I saw it on television. And so if you can believe him, then that's the issue.
That was his percentage chance of winning?
Yes, that's what the whole purpose
is. Percentage of winning.
Yeah. Your odds were 1 in 12 quadrillion. That's the way they said it. Okay, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, maybe you have an estimate, and maybe we can talk about symptoms. Maybe we can talk about, do I need this at this mileage? Maybe we can talk about a lot of things, but you just have to call 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. So, when they start looking at the big picture, the idea is symptoms, diagnose the symptoms, make the repair, give an estimate, make the repair, and then test drive the car to make sure that what you went in to fix, you actually fixed. And Phil is really, really good at that. So he's a good guy at 40th Street in Washington, Automatic Transmission Exchange. We call it ATE. It's a good transmission shop for those of you in Central Phoenix. Tom, good morning to you. How is it I can help you?
Hi, Mark. How you doing? I had a question in the motorhome. I've got an old 95 Newmar. It's on a 450 Ford chassis that's 38-foot, got a tag axle on the back.
Okay.
Someone was trying to tell me truck tires instead of RV tires. Is there a difference, and where's the trade-off, the number of plies, as far as getting the value on that?
Okay, it has nothing to do with the plies. You can use either one. You can use an RV tire, or you can use a truck tire, but here's the deal. Let's pretend, just for the sake of math, so I don't have to tax to my head. Let's say your motorhome, how many tires does it have?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Eight tires. I'm with you. Let's pretend that it weighs 40,000 pounds. Okay? So we take 8 into 40,000 pounds, and we're somewhere in the vicinity of 4,000 pounds a tire, right? 8 into 40?
Or 5.
Or 5. There you go. Thank you. I told you I'm math challenged. I don't have a calculator. So you need, using that math, you need every single tire to have a 5,000 load capability. It doesn't really make any difference. I like Toyos. What kind of tires do you sell of the light truck or the heavy truck? Do you?
Lots of different tires.
Okay. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people use lots of different tires.
But Toyo's a good tire.
Yeah.
I've sold lots of them in my life.
Good, good, good. So the answer to your question is it doesn't make any difference what brand you buy, but on the door sticker to the left of your knee on the wall there, that door sticker gives you gross vehicle weight, GVWR, gross vehicle weight rating. And it tells you how much that coach weighs. And then you just divide it by 8. Now, here's the sin. if you're supposed to have 8 5,000-pound tires and you have 8 3,000-pound tires, that's a really bad deal. And that, and of course, you know that if you start splitting tires and throwing front treads and overloading the tires, then it's going to, it, a blowout in a motorhome usually takes the fiberglass fender out of it, takes flooring out of it, it busts toilets and all that kind of stuff because the tread flaps around at 60 miles an hour when you blow a tire. So it's not like a car. So to answer your question, I think it's just a matter of numbers. If you have to go to a truck tire, and usually a light truck tire would be good, but not a semi-truck tire, then if you have to go to a light truck tire, then you have to go to a light truck tire. You're certainly not going to put a passenger car tire on there because they don't have weight limits more than about 2,500 pounds. So if you go 2,500 times 8, what is that, Mr. Mathematician? 20,000. Yeah, I got it just the same time you did. So that's 20 on a 40,000-mile or $40,000 or 40,000-pound coach. That's hypothetically. Does that all make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It does. I know. Right on the side of the tire, it'll show the maximum load rating. I know there's some maximum inflation and load rating. It'll be a number on the tire.
Yeah, you're looking at maximum pounds, maximum load. Forget the plies. Okay. Forget all that other stuff. Forget the inflation, all that other stuff. Now, I've been doing motorhomes for a heck of a long time, and I always ran my motorhomes at maximum inflation. Do you want to know why?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Remember when you rode a bike and the tires were flat and you rode to your corner gas station and it took a lot of effort to get there and then you aired up your bicycle tires and it was like you had a brand new bicycle on your way home? And so
yes.
I like to run mine at full inflation. If I hit a pothole with my motorhome tire, if it's fully inflated, then the wheel's not going to cut the tire. And when I get into it, if I ever get my motorhome sideways, and God help you if you get that three-axle motor going down the road sideways, if the tires are half flat, and I'm using this as an example, as soon as those tires bite, it's going to roll that motorhome over. But if the tires are fully inflated, then you're going to get sideways on the highway, and you're going to go, and then it's going to stop. So you have a huge risk if you get the motorhome sideways that it's called trip. We're going to trip the motorhome and throw it on its side. And, of course, you know, like I know, nobody wears their seatbelts in the motorhome. So,
oh, my, yeah.
So, anyway, okay, does that answer all your questions for you?
It does. I had one other question.
Go ahead.
I've got an old Honda Accord 98 that does not have a filter in the transmission. So, if you drain the pan, it's 4 quarts. So, probably 100,000 miles, probably never been. And I was thinking of putting the synthetic in, which will put it in mixed with whatever's in there. How would you do that?
What do you think, Lane? All right. I'll take that one because that's a hard one. You can flush it out by using the cooler lines. So if you wanted to, you'd buy about 10 feet of 3/8 fuel line. And you'd take the cooler lines off the radiator, and you'd aim both of those in 1 5-gallon tank. You start the engine up, and one of them's going to be pushing, and one of them's going to be sucking. So you pull the sucking one out, and you're now starting a transmission. You're starting the engine, and your transmission fluid is going to be evacuated into that 5-gallon pail. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Meanwhile,
to flush.
Yeah, that's basically what we do. We use machines to do that. So we're going to evacuate the transmission, and then we're going to take that suck line. And we're going to hook the pressure line back up, and we're going to take the suck line and stick it in a 5-gallon bucket with new fluid. So when you start it back up, we're going to suck new fluid into it, and it's go into the transmission, and then it's going to go back to the cooler. And that's basically what we do. We do it a little fancier than that. Our equipment's a little bit more sophisticated. But here's the bad news. If you lose control of one of those hoses in your driveway, you're not going to get to the key before you got oil everywhere. So, what do you guys charge? Round figures for a transmission flush.
Well, obviously, it depends on whether you're using synthetic or non-synthetic, but anywhere from 100 to possibly as high as 175.
I agree with you. It depends on the fluid. And if he doesn't have a filter inside there, I'd still like to pull the pan because I'd like to see how much metal and see if there's any snap rings in there and stuff like that. So we pull the pan, make sure there's no filter in it. That's going to get some of the fluid. Put a new gasket, put the pan back up and flush it. I'm with you. 150 to 175, somewhere around there. So that you didn't have pull the pan in yours. You just had a flush.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm going to go from 150 to 200.
Okay. Yes, if you have to pull the pan, which quite often is the absolute best way, so you can see whether or not there's any metal in the filter.
Right. And he said no filter, but if we have pieces of brass in there, we have broken snap rings in there, we know we got a problem. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I'm Mark Salem. He's Lane Bridwell. We'll be right back. Dream of Henry Ford. Lane Bridwell from Bridwell Automotive, Scottsdale, Lincoln, is sitting next to me. And we're talking about cars. You're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open, so you're going to get in if you call. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Air Park Auto Service. Air Park Auto Service opened in 1985 at the Scottsdale Air Park. They're on Raintree just east of Hayden, which is just south of Bell or Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard. Nadine's been the owner and operator since the beginning. They've been in my best car repair list for years and years and years, and it's a state-of-the-art clean and green facilities. They have the latest diagnostic tools. They service most makes and models of vehicles and cars and trucks. So if you live in way north Scottsdale, I know that you'll be happy with Air Park Auto Service. Again, it's Raintree, which is just south of Frank Lloyd Wright and just east of Hayden. So it's really close to the 101 and Frank Lloyd Wright. Good place to go. How about we go to the phones, Lane, to Robert. Robert, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Good morning, Mark. I have a 2004 Chevy Silverado 5.3. I used to get about 16.6 miles per gallon in town, and I'm currently getting about 12. The engine seems to run beautifully. The transmission doesn't appear to be slipping. The tires are inflated. I have 170,000 miles.
To
figure out.
I think, let me ask you, Lane, have you still got any old engine analyzers where you can measure CO and HC?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So in that case, what I would do, and I'm asking you that because we don't have anymore. We don't have an old infrared machine.
Well, we work on a lot of 1970 cars,
right.
So we have no choice. They're restoring cars.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of that, and we have to have that.
And vehicle emissions, Robert, is this. Pretend that there's a big knob sitting to the right of your driver's compartment. So we go 60 miles an hour, and we start turning the knob in, which controls fuel. So we keep turning, and we keep turning, and there's going to come a time where we turn it just a little bit, and it goes from 60 to 59. So that's called fuel trim. We have just got to the point where we are giving. So we back off the knob two or three clicks, and now you go back up to 60 miles an hour, and it's everything's perfect. There's not too much fuel being delivered to the engine. There's not too little fuel being delivered to the engine. So with an infrared machine, you can go in there and check idle and look at his CO and his HC. And you can tell quickly if the CO is high, so will the HC be. So if his CO is sitting there at 3, 4, 5%, either he's got a bad O2 sensor, he's got a bad catalytic converter, or and an EGR won't cause a bad fuel problem. But if you have the ability to measure CO and HC, and you know what those mean, your guys do, then that's what you do. And most of the time, that is somewhere between $50 and $60 to check the tailpipe emissions, not fix anything. So you agree? 100? 400?
Well, it depends on how deep you got to go. Anywhere from 50 to 110, somewhere in that area.
Okay.
That's including making adjustments. And, of course, if it's an 07, there's no adjustment there to make. That's on older cars.
Yeah, this is an 04, the 5.3. What I meant by that is stick the probe in the tailpipe, $50. It's not the further diagnosis.
Okay, yes.
Because
that's all you're doing.
Right. Yeah, once you've determined that the HC is high and the CO is low, or they're both high, then you have to go into the diagnostic mode to see. But what you're looking for is
two
CO
minutes.
Real high. If the CO is real high, that's his fuel economy. We're dumping fuel in there that we don't really need. So the answer to your question is with a little bit of money, you can check that tailpipe, and that will tell you all you need to know. At 170,000 miles, I would probably put a vacuum gauge on it as well. And the vacuum should be in idle 17 inches, 16 to 18 inches, and I'd want to make sure it was there. And if the vacuum's not there, then you can have a plugged exhaust system. You can have a bad catalytic converter. And then we'd also look at your O2 sensor readings, and if we would make sure that the O2 is switching between 1 and 9, 1 and 9, 1 and 9. And if the O2 sensor is stuck at 9, then that's telling the engine, give me as much fuel as you can get, hence he loses fuel economy. So if the O2 sensor is stuck on the high end, there's your fuel economy. And I'm betting he only has two oxygen sensors on that, probably one in front of the cat and one behind the cat. So then the question is which one are
one
we going to change? So does that help you, Robert? Do you have a garage that you can take it to?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I was just curious. See, exhaust pipe itself looks like it came from the factory.
Okay.
And that there's no black buildup or anything. It's totally clean.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Have you reset the fuel economy in a long time?
I did. I had put a water pump in it, and I had to disconnect the battery, and then I took it to emissions, but it was like 2 days later, and they made me come back because the computer had been reset.
Yep. Yeah, the monitors hadn't been reset. So when you came back, then the monitors had been reset, there was no codes, and you passed the emissions, yes?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. I have one other question for you. Has your grandson been driving this any at all?
No, I'm the primary driver. I'm 70 years old. And,
okay.
Go easy on it.
Okay, I'm just teasing you, because if your answer would have said, you know, come to think of it, he came and borrowed it for a week. Young men have a bad habit of knocking 5 miles of the gallon off your car when they drive it versus you and I drive it. So I was making a joke about your grandson driving it, because that would explain why you went from 16.6 to 12. That would explain.
Now, I used to be one of those people. You know.
We all were.
Yeah, yeah. And so you know exactly. I think this is fixable, but the first thing I do is look in the owner's manual, and I would reset your fuel economy. And then let it wait for about 2 weeks and see what it says. You can do that from your steering column to reset your fuel economy. You don't have to disconnect the battery. So look in your owner's manual, and that'll help you do it. Thank you very much, Robert. The lines are wide open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I'm Mark Salem. Lane Bridwell from Bridwell Automotive Center in Scottsdale is sitting next to me. We'll be back right after this. Lane Bridwell from Bridwell Automotive. Bridwell Automotive Center is sitting next to me. S&S Tire, though, I want to talk about in the west side. Peoria, Surprise, Goodyear, S&S Tire. They have the most comprehensive line of tires and many, many different brands. Why do you care about that? You can pull in, they'll take your tire size, and you say to them, I want a price for good, better, best. And they can pull that out. So they can say, here's your good, here's your better, here's your best, and here's the three prices, and you write your check before we even start. This is a total thing. I've got all the taxes, the FETs, the mounting and bouncing. It's all in there. So they have any tire you want for your personal vehicle, plus wheelbarrows to tractors and everything in between. So they'll balance your new tires, and they do related tire stuff like alignments and suspension. So if you're looking for new tires on anything you own and you're in the West Valley, then S&S Tire is where I think you should go. Mike, good morning. How can we help you?
Hey, I have a F-250 2000, and it's the starter, and I've been replacing the starters like the third one. Now, they've been rebuilt from, you know, like an AutoZone-type starter. It's just running through it after about 3 weeks. And I looked through, and I turned the gear to see if any teeth were missing. Now, there's some shavings inside the case when I take the starter out. Not much, just a little bit. And then it runs perfect for, you know, a couple weeks. And then all of a sudden, it just starts back to grind, and, you know, how you're turning it over. It's just
okay.
Grinding away.
All right.
Now it's...
hold on.
Consistently gets worse.
Okay, so all I have from your conversation is it grinds. So I want to know, when you turn the key, does it sound like it would if the engine's already running?
Yeah, kind of. You know how, if you try to start it.
Okay.
When it's started already, okay. You turn the key.
And so the grinding is the starter spinning, but it's not engaging the flywheel?
Right.
Okay.
But it works perfectly, like I said, for a couple weeks, nothing. Turn okay. it one time, and it turns right over and starts perfect.
Okay. The second part of this equation is when you're at Walmart or you're at your girlfriend's house and your wife doesn't know it, then if you hit the key and nothing happens, then what do you do then?
Well, I immediately turn it back. You know, obviously I don't keep it grinding. I, you know, as soon as it does it, I turn it back so it doesn't continue because I know the, you know, the starter's engaged out and it's spinning.
Okay,
I turn it back.
Stop. I want to know how you get it started again.
Well, I do try it a couple times, and it'll start like on usually the third time if I try it.
Okay.
What I was going to say is after it does that a couple times, then I just replaced it. So I didn't continuously, you know, for a month, you know, go at the flywheel.
Okay. Well, we have a much better way to check the flywheel than you do. And my fear is you don't know what a bad flywheel looks like. So us gray-haired son of a guns, we know what it looks like. So we'll usually pull the lower cover off of it, and we have a wrench that we can rotate it, and we put a yellow mark there, or we use a magic marker, and then we rotate it all the way around.
Well,
and you got.
I did turn it with a wrench. You know, I did turn the flywheel around. I could see the bottom part of it when the starter's out, and I did crank it around, and I kind of looked at the teeth, and the teeth didn't look to be worn in any location, though.
Okay.
Now, I may not made a full revolution, but I think I did, though.
All right, that's the issue. You're telling me you've got a bad starter. You're telling me that the starter's spinning, and it's not engaging the flywheel, and you're telling me the teeth is okay. So
yeah, but why would it start for a month with perfect? Like, it would have to get that spot, you know, at some point. You know what I mean? You would think in a month of starting perfect on the first crank.
Stop. You know what? You're talking about stuff that I don't care about. You're asking me a question why it does that every 30 days. I don't care. That's not going to help me figure your starter out. When I finally figure out your starter, then you'll know the answer to that. And I'll know the answer to that. So the idea is that you're asking lots of questions and yeah, fine, you got questions, but they're only going to be answered after we fix the starter. Then I say, you know, you need to look at all the teeth, but you don't know if you made it all around. I think your V8 motor only stops in basically two positions almost all the time. So you got to do a few full rotation. The second thing you got to do is there's only two reasons this is happening. Just two. You got teeth missing off the flywheel, or you got the wrong starter. And so what you need to do is you need to go back and go by application. The eighth digit of the VIN, the tenth digit of the VIN, the exact engine side, and look at the production date on the door. You need to be exact. Because if the first guy looked up the wrong starter and you kept turning it in for the same numbered starter, then we've got a problem with the starter and somebody looked it up wrong on the front side. So there's only two reasons this is going to happen. Number one, the teeth are missing and damaged. Or number two, you got the wrong starter in there. There's no other reason. So good luck to you, Mike.
Roger is your next caller.
It's just a matter of staying away from the discussion about, you know, what if and stuff like that. Because, again, that'll be answered when we're all done. Roger, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Yeah, good morning, Mark. I just have a question about batteries. It appears that aftermarket batteries, which most of us buy, I mean, I only deal with Napa. I don't go to Walmart or all those other rock and roll parts places. But does the Arizona heat, is that part and parcel of why batteries die sooner in Arizona than they would anywhere else?
Well, I happen to know a lot about batteries. And I can tell you there's a company in the United States called Johnson Controls. And they make 89% of every battery that's sold in the United States. So the battery is made, and then it comes down. I want you to picture a bowling alley with 100 lanes. And as I want you to tip where the pins are, I want you to tip that end up. So as the battery comes down the chute, it gets a label for Napa and Delco and Interstate and Walmart and Fry's and Safeway and Vash's. So those batteries come down, but the same battery is pretty much the same battery. So look it up yourself. Johnson Controls. And they are the biggest battery manufacturer that I know of. And I actually met the lady who was in charge of advertising and production, and I flat out asked her, what percentage do you do? And she looked around, and she says 89% of the batteries come out of our warehouse. To answer your question, batteries are going to last, Lane, about how many years in Arizona?
I'd say 2 to 3 years.
I'm with you exactly. There's exceptions to every rule. We got people that lose them at 15 months, 16 months, 18 months. And then we got people that say they've got 5-6 years on them. But the batteries last 2 to 3 years. I can tell you a quick story. My wife's battery went dead October 1st. Our car was 3 years old. And I laughed at her. I said, see, I don't have a battery. So about 3 days later, my battery goes dead. So she laughs at me. So we both have new batteries that are 3 days apart. This is a true story. I don't care if you believe it. So 2 or 3 years later, her battery fails, or maybe it was mine, and she's laughing at me, and hers a week later fails. So here we are. We have two batteries, and they fail the front side and on the back side within a week of one another.
That's incredible.
Well, and I went down and bought a lottery ticket, and I didn't win either. But to answer your question, I don't think heat has anything to do with it, but I tell you what the battery experts say. The biggest problem with batteries is vibration. So if it's not securely fastened to the tray it's in, and a lot of people don't do that, they end up with rusty bolts on the hold-down tray, and they don't put the bolts back in, and they don't fix it like they should, so the battery bounces around in the tray. But that's the number one reason batteries fail. The second reason is that the battery is supposed to give you a lot of electricity for a short period of time. So if you most cars go, boom, and they start right up, then it's a half a second's worth of lots of electricity, 300 amps of electricity. The headlights take 15. So, but if you're cranking your motor over because your car's not running right and because your fuel pump's weak, that hurts it because you're drawing a whole lot of amps for an excessive period of time. The difference between a car battery is a whole bunch of power in a short period of time. The difference between a trolling motor battery is a little bit of electricity over a very long period of time. So that's what it's the RV battery is a little bit of electricity over 2 days. The car battery is a whole lot of electricity over 2 seconds. So that's the kind of difference between the two. What kind of batteries do you like, or what time have you had?
I buy from Napa, so whatever their brand is, but I will tell you this, all the guys I deal with are gray-haired guys and not the three-whisker kind. What they told me was that when you buy a brand-new car, the batteries from the factory that they put in brand-new vehicles will generally last 3 to 5 years, and any aftermarket battery you buy will probably last, like you said, a year and a half, 2 years, if you're lucky, three. Mine's bolted down. There's no rust. I clean the cables and everything all the time. But they always seem to go out within a year and a half or thereabouts.
Okay. I think one of the things I'd want to do is an electrical systems test, because the voltage regulator should control the voltage to the battery 1 volt over key-off battery. So you check the battery, and it's 12.8. So when I start it up, I want to see 13.8. So whatever the battery is with my key in the pocket, I want it to be 1 volt over. I want to look at the diode pattern. I want to go ahead and load the battery, and we all have these fancy-dancy things where it says CCA 400. So we hook up our fancy things, and we test the battery, and it says CCA is 412. That means it's good. So there's a variety of tests. Let me tell you something. There isn't a car manufacturer in the whole wide world that has a factory that makes Honda batteries or Chevrolet batteries, Toyota batteries, Jaguar batteries, or Rolls-Royce batteries. There isn't a factory in the world that does that. There's a factory in China that I got some pictures from not too long ago that had pallets of oil filters, and they must have had 20 brands on the same can. So they just spray paint it with Napa, Ford, Chevrolet, Honda, but those all came out of the same factory. So I respectfully disagree with the old gray-haired guys at Napa that Honda or Chevrolet or the original equipment batteries make a difference with respect to the thing. Why are you smirking?
Well, he's only talking a small amount of time, but is there anything you can do to create a little bit more longevity in your battery besides the things that you say, tie down, vibration, whatever? Is there anything you can do to create a little bit more longevity in a battery?
Well, go ahead.
Use it every day.
And see, I was thinking just the same thing. On a taxi cab that starts and stops hundreds of times a day, I think their life expectancy is a lot less than yours and mine. We start it, we go to work. We start it, go see our girlfriend. We start it, go to lunch. Start it, go back to work, and start it when we go home.
Well, every time you start your battery, you're pulling a lot of power out of it. So you've got to drive it long enough to recharge it.
I agree.
And if you're not doing that, if you're doing a lot of starting and then short stops, you're going to decrease your battery life.
And it's because we don't ever fill it back up with electricity.
1 minute.
And that a long drive to Tucson would be a good example. But if you're like my grandmother, she'd start it up and go to church, and then she'd come home. And the batteries would fail on a regular basis because that's all she did. And so we never really got to charge the battery.
She's not driving it long enough to recharge it.
Yep, that's what you got. Lane, thank you for spending your Saturday with me. My email's at mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. If you have a question, I'm happy to answer it for you. If you send me your email, if you'd send me your phone number, and know that I'm going to call you on a blocked line. So if you get a phone call and it's within 24 hours after you send me the email and it's from a block line, when you answer it, this is the first thing I say. Hey, this is Mark Salem. You sent me an email about your Honda. So I'm going to eliminate the fact that I come across as somebody who wants to sell you some African property that has a gold mine on it. So I make that decision. I make that clear for you. So Mark@marksalem.com, thank you for spending your Saturday with us.